Ohio approved and licensed for disposal. At Ron Evans Enterprises, they specialize in sewage system installation and repair. Ron Evans has a full line of flex pipe, culverts, concrete and plastic septic tanks, sewer fittings, waterline rolls for the Home American water heaters, along with toilets, standard and ADA. It's all at Ron Evans Enterprise, LLC. Give them a call today at 1-800-537-9528 or 740-286-5930.
At Vinton County National Bank, we believe in supporting the areas where we live and work. Now, we'd like to honor those who also serve our communities. Our new Community Champions account is especially for first responders, veterans, active military, and anyone employed in the fields of healthcare or education. This account offers rewards, discounts, and other benefits to those who give so much to others. Vinton County National Bank, rewarding those who serve.
Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Belicio Foods is looking for you. That's right, Belicio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Belicio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at beliciofoods.com/careers.
We Googled it. We're talking about weird wasps. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the morning show right here on Main Street TV, where it is hump day and it is raining, as we can all see if you can see my sleeve. And but we are going to do it. Spring is springing.
Spring is springing.
Spring is springing. And we are here again with Maddie and Josh, and we are going to talk well, all things 4-H and seeds and planting and all kind of fun stuff today. And we're going to play with dirt.
We're going to play with a little bit of dirt. Yep. A little bit of dirt.
He promised me I could play with dirt. And so I'm excited about that. But welcome back, guys. It's always so fun to have you here on the program. And we always have a great time when you're here. And you guys have a lot of cool things that are happening. So I'll just kind of let you loose and go for it.
Yeah,
we'll go ahead and we'll just start about what we're going to be talking about today. Say, spring has sprung. Like we said, spring has sprung. So, you know, for one of our programs that we do in after school, we kind of talk about container gardening. So,
that's,
you know,
so good, yeah, to teach the kids, like, mm-hmm, to start early. Yeah.
And the kids love to see it because a lot of kids, you know, they just go to the grocery store, grab some
vegetables. Lettuce comes from the grocery store.
Yeah. Well, if they grab the fresh lettuce, a lot of them are just grabbing frozen vegetables, frozen stuff.
Yep.
And that's what they're used to. But actually getting them to show them what they're growing and getting to eat it. So, you know, March, you know, we're still a little early in the time frame. It's not time to go ahead and start gardening out in the outside yet, unless you have a greenhouse. A greenhouse, you probably could be getting the temperatures. But right now we can talk about container gardening. So starting your garden inside your house.
That is so cool. And I'll be honest with you, I've never done that. So I'm really excited that you're here today to like teach us how.
Yeah.
So it's really simple. It's like a really simple topic. So container gardening, what is it? What is a container? So a container can be anything from a plastic cup. It can be anything from this is a Hotheads cup, but it's a paper cup. Or you can use, you know, what they sell at the stores, these containers, or you can use anything as big as one of these bigger containers. It's just whichever type of seeds you would choose from. So with our cups, we typically want to use any type of seeds that are going to have a big root system. That's just going to be a singular plant. So you can go ahead and get a good start on it. And then same with this cup. These ones, you can probably use some smaller ones, starting some lettuce, or you could get just a plate. You know, whenever we're looking at our lettuce seeds are super tiny, and we just sprinkle them throughout the soil, push them down a little bit, and then watch them come up. And then from there, we go ahead and transplant them.
Well, how do you know what's what? What to put in what vessel?
So it all depends on what you want. So we have a bunch of seeds here at the Extension Office from the Ohio Victory Gardens program. Say it's a program that we partner with ODA. Say they give out a bunch of different seeds. So this year, they're giving out carrots. They're giving out cucumbers. They're giving out lettuce and sunflower seeds. So if I was to put a sunflower, which one would you put the sunflowers in?
The tall one, I think.
The tall one, right. Because it's only going to have one seed in there. You're going to need some space for it to grow. You want to definitely have some space into it. So you're probably going to want to use either one of the cups for the sunflowers, Probably the carrots, and then also the cucumbers, because cucumbers are going to get big and bushed out. With our lettuce, you're going to use probably something like this.
Okay.
Not necessarily as deep, because you don't need this deep onto it. You could just use a plate, and then it's just going to slowly move down, because you only need to cover them up, I think it's like a quarter of an inch.
Mm-hmm. And so literally, if you don't know what you're doing, number one, you can Google it or whatever, but like, if just read the seed packet.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Sorry, Josh. Most often the time, if you look on the front of, or the back of your seed packet, it'll tell you the type of sunlight that it needs, you know, partial sunlight, full sunlight. It'll tell you how much water it needs, how deep into the ground that the seed needs to be planted. Does it need to be 2 inches? Does it need to be a quarter of an inch or just right on top of the soil? So it'll tell you, it literally gives you the instructions on the back of that seed packet on what you need to do to make sure that seed thrives.
Yeah.
So one of the first things you want to do before you get started and put any of your soil in is make sure you have some type of drainage in it, whether it's draining out the sides, whether it's draining out the bottom. You don't want water sitting in the bottom of it. You know,
which means put something underneath.
Right, unless you want wet carpet or wet countertop, wherever you put it, you want to make sure that you put some type of holes in it just so it drains, because, you know, odds are it's not going to affect too much on a cup like this because it's super big. But if you've got a smaller cup, and water stays in the bottom of it, and that transplant starts to grow, and the roots get onto it, that water can rot the roots.
Yeah,
so we want to make sure that you're draining the water out, kind of like our house plants. You want to make sure that they're also draining, and you're not overwatering it.
Right.
So after we do that, we got to get our soil, right? So soil, we can have different types of options. Say this one is just potting mix. You can use potting mix to put in there, but it's also good if you use a 50-50% blend. So if you're going to use it in just your soil outside, you want to go ahead and just get some of your soil outside, probably about 50% of what you would put in here. So if I'm going to fill it up to halfway, I'm going to put a quarter of that potting mix.
So the dirt out of like where your garden will actually be.
Right. Yeah. And if you're using a raised bed and you're just putting soil that you buy in from Walmart, you can just get that soil and just go ahead and use it just so that plant gets acclimated to its conditions that it's going to go in.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. And I think a lot of people don't realize this, like, you don't think about it, like, they're living organisms, they're beings, you know, like, plants are alive, and so they need to be happy in their homes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It sounds really stupid, but it's true, right?
Well, and there's plant shock, right? So you have to make sure that they're being acclimated as well.
Yeah.
The way
they
I like to
be
think
happy little plants.
The way I like to think about it is like fish. Like, if you ever get a goldfish, you're supposed to acclimate it to the new water and all of that. Same thing with your plants. It's like the same concept.
Because they're living.
Right.
Yeah. They don't have brains, I guess, but they're living.
Another topic we talk about whenever we're in the schools is kind of talking about, you know, Earth Day, talking about reduce, reuse, recycle. So, you know, container gardening doesn't have to be items we just buy to use for gardening, like, you know, buying our pots and stuff. It can be anything like these cups, or it can be egg cartons. Egg cartons is a really good one to start your smaller plants.
I guess I didn't think about that. Yes. That would make sense.
Because a good thing about your egg cartons, as long as it's not the styrofoam ones, if it's the all cardboard, it says 100% recyclable, those are biodegradable. So technically, you're able to plant those with it. The cardboard will break down and it'll be good for the soil. Just whenever you do that, before you do it, you want to cut it up, because you don't want to just put a whole egg carton in the ground, because it's going to take a long time for it to degrade. You want to make sure it's cut up a little bit so, you know, it degrades faster.
So that's like the same thing as like if you go to, say, the big box stores and you buy one of those, what's that plant company called that everybody buys the plants? Anyway. But they come in containers like that, and it says just put me in the ground, basically, and then it goes from there. So, yeah, that would be the same as, like, your egg carton.
Yeah, those are going to be.
That makes total sense.
Those are going to be cardboard-based, and they're just going to slowly degrade.
Is it Burpee? Is that what the plant company is called?
I do not know.
He doesn't know because they plant their own stuff.
So I'm not really sure.
But, yeah, so after we go ahead and we plant our seeds, and they've grown, and, you know, the weather's out nice, we're past our frost date. Depending on our plants, if you're looking at lettuce, you can plant lettuce before our frost date. Our frost date for southeastern Ohio is like the end of April. So you're able to plant it probably beginning of April, just because lettuce is a cool season vegetable. So it's actually going to thrive in colder weather.
Okay.
If you have a hard frost, if for some reason we get down to the 15 degrees, 20 degrees at night in mid-April, you might want to cover them up, just because that frost can, if for some reason you already have the plant above ground.
The leaf part.
The leaf part. Yeah. Really mean you might want to put a blanket over it just in case. But these are actually going to be able, looks like there's a hole in the bag. Looks like
uh-oh.
We're selling a little bit of it.
But, we're going to have lettuce growing everywhere yeah. here at Total Media.
But these are going to be able to withstand temperature change. Whereas cucumbers, you're probably going to want to wait a little bit longer just because okay. cucumbers is a summer season vegetable.
Okay.
They like the hot. They like the heat. So if you put them out in the cold, they're going to die pretty quick.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so I'm thinking about lettuce. And obviously you, like, there's different kinds of lettuces, right? But when you think of lettuce, I think a lot of us think of iceberg lettuce, but that's not really like the most nutritious lettuce in the world. I mean, you could still grow it, right? But so the, you know, when you get into like the more of the greens, like the ones that are super good for you, how do they, what do they look like when they grow?
So,
and like, how do you know when it's ready and pick it and all that stuff? Like, mm-hmm. how does that work?
It just depends on the type of lettuce. Like you said, okay. some of them are going to ball up, kind of like cabbage. So some of them are going to ball up. Some of them are just going to be a leafy lettuce. So they're just going to leaf out. So you're just going to start seeing leaves grow. Just, you know, mm-hmm. just looks like leaves coming out of the ground. They just start growing and getting bigger and you would you pick them off. But to pick off your lettuce, you don't want to actually like pull out the whole thing. You definitely just want to pinch it off. So you pinch it off at the very bottom of it. And then you would get that leaf off, and then that bottom part, it's going to keep growing.
So it'll keep going.
Right.
Yeah.
You can probably get, depending on your soil, you can probably get around 3 to 4 pickings off your lettuce.
Oh, okay.
Just because as long as you don't pull it completely out of the ground, if you just pinch off the part of the lettuce you want to eat,
yep.
you're going to be able to eat it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So the lettuce that's in our Victory Garden seeds is, it doesn't ball up. It is just one of
like
the
a leaf lettuce
that right. you would just pinch off. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. So after we go ahead and we have our transplants and they started to grow, we have to get them out of the container if it's a plastic container or, you know, if you don't want to plant your cup.
Let me back you up 1 second. Yeah. Do you need the fancy lights and the grow lights and all that stuff to start this stuff? Or
you don't need them. It would help a lot if you had them, but you don't need them. You definitely don't need them. You just need a place in your house that has good sunlight that they're going to be able to get sunlight throughout the day because that sunlight is
okay.
gonna, you know,
so increase. They need sun, obviously. Mm-hmm.
They're going to need sun. You do not need grow lights. You shouldn't need grow lights unless you live in a very dark shaded area. You should be fine.
Do you so if you do have the grow lights, are they on 24 hours or do you how does that work?
Typically, there's a specific, it depends on the grow light. You have to read the grow light manual. It'll kind of okay. tell you when and how to run it.
Again, read the box.
Typically, it's like in increments. It varies.
Some of them are timed, right. so they'll turn off. And
so they'll just do their own thing.
Yeah, right. yep.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yep.
Right.
Or you can buy like a really cheap timer too mm-hmm. that you can hook into it. Yep. And
but I have a sunroom on the back of my house. And so when I start seeds, we put those in the sunroom. So it's still warm in there because it kind of retains the heat from the house. We shut okay. all the windows up, but they get plenty of sunlight in there. But they're not out in the elements, you know, where they're kind of freezing or getting too cold. So
very good.
Just a good place that has lots of sunlight, protects them from the elements, and they still stay warm so they're not freezing overnight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But to go ahead and get so we've got it all grown up. And now we're trying to get it out to plant it either in our raised bed or our yard, wherever we have our garden. One of the best ways to do it is if you just have a cup. If you go ahead and put water in it, that soil gets kind of compacted together. And then you should just be able to flip it upside down. It should just fall out and you'll have the sure. whole plant and stuff. And you just put it down into your hole.
Okay.
So if you have a big plant, you do that. Or if you have lettuce is a little bit different. So lettuce, you're going to have probably 25 little sprouts coming up.
Okay.
So what you want to do is you just want to go ahead and pick whichever one's the biggest, kind of pick out the ones that don't, continue to let it grow. And then once you have that one sprout, that's your sole survivor, the one that you want, you can go ahead and pick it up and put it down wherever you want to plant your lettuce.
Okay.
So. Mm-hmm.
All right. So they will grow individual plants, but there'll be like a bunch of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So this is where we typically would go ahead and start with the kids, and the kids would pick out which item they wanted to use. It's usually recycled plastics, papers, and then they would go ahead and get their soil, and they would choose which type of seed they want. Like we said, we have cucumbers, carrots, lettuce, and sunflowers through our Ohio Victory Gardens, and then they would go ahead and they would start loading up their cup with their soil, And then they would start going ahead and putting little holes in it. Those holes can be made either with, I see a paper clip here, if you've got a sharp paper clip, yeah, or if you've got little thumbtacks, your thumbtacks can be able to get enough holes in the bottom of it where it's going to drain out pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, don't put like one giant hole in there because everything will fall through. Yeah.
You'll lose a lot of soil and you'll get everything dirty.
Yeah.
But like I said, the Ohio Victory Gardens program, it's through ODA, so Ohio Department of Agriculture. It's a program that was established back in World War I. So they did
what?
This, yeah,
that old. Wow,
it's an old program. It's a program that they did. It's a program that they did back when we had food shortages. So it was to encourage people in their own homes to grow their own food because, you know, they couldn't just go to the grocery store because everybody was low on food. So it was encouraging people to have gardens, produce their own foods, where they're able to eat. You know, today we don't have a really much of a food shortage in the area. We're not in a time of war, but the Ohio Department of Agriculture sees the importance of still educating people about creating their own vegetables. Plus, it tastes better. It tastes a lot better to have your own vegetables, fresh vegetables right out of the
garden. You know what's, I mean, plus it's just satisfying, right? Like, you know what you're eating and it's fun to watch it grow and it's just cool.
Yep. And these are, they have a specific, they're heirloom seeds, right? I think the seeds that they're passed out, they're heirloom seeds. And so a lot of folks are interested in seed starting and kind of doing regenerative seed starting. So you can continue to save these seeds back from year to year and continue your own victory garden using these seeds. So, a lot of stuff that I think the ODA is interested in and they're excited about. And so not every county gets to participate in the Victory Gardens program.
Oh,
so
really?
We're excited that Jackson County.
Yay, us.
Yeah, yeah. So Josh, our new little ag agent, gets to bring this opportunity to the people of Jackson County.
Josh.
So.
Yep. And I've got 300 packets. So we've got plenty of packets to hand out to anybody that comes in the office. I'm going to school visits, talking about, you know, the same thing, talking about our gardening, talking about our soil health, and just handing them out, trying to get kids interested in growing things because, you know, they're our future. If they learn to grow it now, they're going to grow it when they're older. So,
yeah. Absolutely. So if you're interested, stop by the extension office, pick yourself up a packet of seeds.
Okay.
Say hi to Josh and Annie and I. We love to talk to you.
Please.
And then, yeah, start your own garden this summer.
So fun. And, you know, what a good, like, family-friendly bonding, you know, time. Like, kids are busy and parents are busy and whatever, but if you can just take, you know, 10 minutes out of your day every day to spend some time in the garden and that gives you time to talk and whatever, that's awesome. That's something you can do together.
Yeah, and the great thing that I like to promote is you don't need a lot of land to have your own garden. Say we live in Wellston, so we don't have much land. We have less than half an acre, but we still have two raised beds. So raised beds are really good for, you know, just having your own vegetables. We had probably 20, 30 tomatoes just off of a couple plants.
Oh my gosh, I froze so many tomatoes. Yeah. We ate tomato soup so often.
Well, you can make a raised bed, and the raised beds are fairly inexpensive. Say, I know out of our wood ones, it was probably $50 for a 8-foot by 4-foot raised bed just to make it.
Right.
I know on Amazon, we have different types of raised beds in front of the extension office. We've got a metal one, a wood one, and a cinder block one. And they all cost, the cinder block one was the most, and it cost $65 to make. And these are all 8-foot by 4-foot. So it's fairly inexpensive to make it. The real expensive is getting your soil into it. So creating those compost piles for the future, buying that soil from either Walmart or wherever you would pick it up at.
Yeah, or any of the local garden centers. Right. But you're exactly right. Creating your own compost is a fairly, again, it's a year-long thing you could be working on, and it's, you're, instead of throwing things away, put it in that.
Right.
It's such a good good thing to do.
When Josh mows the yard and mulches up the leaves in the fall, we take those grass clippings and those the leaf mulch, and we put those in the garden bed and let that kind of sit and
break down and
do its thing in the garden beds over the winter. And so when the snow kind of sits on top of it, it helps it kind of break down some of that stuff, and then you just kind of mix it in throughout the spring. So
if you're fortunate enough to have, you know, livestock, you can obviously I have where we've had horses for years and years and years. I mean, we've just kind of built this pile. Yes. And I mean, by now it's basically dust.
Yeah.
And it's great. You just throw a little bit of that in and mix it all together. And there we go.
Yeah. I ran down to my mom and dad's. They have goats. So we went down I had like to clean out the barn, which was, you know, one thing, but we got free soil for our raised beds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's nice. It's very, very good. And it's just like the circle of life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. Just don't put your dog do in there. That's not the same thing.
So yeah, we take gardening programs into the schools pretty often. I know we've got a couple of schools interested in starting their own little garden projects at their schools. And so we can kind of do it in multiple ways. We can do it this way, where the kids can kind of make and take. So they can plant their seed in a cup or something like that, take it home, and then kind of watch that seed grow throughout the spring at home.
It's like your little baby.
Yeah, absolutely. Another activity that we've done in the schools are balloon terrariums or balloon gardens.
What?
And so we kind of do the same thing, but we talk about greenhouses. And how carbon dioxide, you know, plants need carbon dioxide to thrive. And so they do the same thing, but they plant dirt and the seed in a white balloon. And when they blow up that balloon, they place that carbon dioxide inside the balloon. They tie it off and they tie it to a string. I tell them, take it home, put it in a window, watch it closely. Because when you blow up that white balloon, it kind of turns clear, right? So you can see into it. And so I tell them, you know, watch for that sprout. And when you get a good sprout in there, pop the balloon and plant it. And so it's a really fun way to introduce greenhouses and those gases and things that are necessary for plant growth as well. So just a couple of different ways to do things. At our open house, we'll have a make and take activity just like this where kids can plant seeds and learn about 4-H gardening projects and things that you can do, canning and freezing and stuff like that in 4-H. So, yeah, lots of fun opportunities in 4-H and in Josh's agriculture and natural resource programs with Extension to learn about gardening programs.
I think if anything came from the pandemic, I mean, a lot of things did, but, you know, people getting back into gardening and because you couldn't, well, food was just stupid and you couldn't find what you wanted. A lot of times people started growing things. They didn't have anything else to do. But canning, canning's something that all of our grandparents and great grandparents and everything did. And then it just quit. And I feel like I would love to learn to do to can.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay attention. Well, they just did it for us and we didn't learn. But like I would love to learn canning and stuff like that. Do you guys have any thought of maybe doing a class or something?
So Extension, we do have a program. It's called Family Consumer Sciences. We don't have that here in Jackson County yet. Hopefully in the future we can
what's wrong with you?
Hopefully in the future we can get enough funding to eventually have a family consumer science educator. But there is programs through Extension that's in the surrounding areas. So I know Vinton County has one, Pike County has one, Scioto County has one. They do have those canning workshops. So they do.
That would be so fun.
Yeah, they do different types of canning ones. I know the one in Scioto they had one in Wheelersburg not too long ago. Yeah, I think it was in last fall they had one.
I'm sure if we could gather enough interest, maybe we could invite one of those neighboring county educators to come to Jackson and maybe offer that program. So we'll do some digging on that.
If you have interest, just keep calling our phone so we can have a list of people so we can go to the other counties and say, hey, we have a demand. Do you guys want to come teach? So
please.
But we do have a 4-H project for canning and freezing. So in 4-H, kids can learn about canning and freezing
through that project.
So if they have an advisor, a family member who is knowledgeable about canning, they can help them walk through that project. And that project book teaches them all of those safety skills and necessary things that they have to do for safe food preservation and kind of walks them through those.
There are safety issues involved with canning and whatnot. Can we have adult 4-H?
Josh is working on his adult programs.
I feel like that would be seriously. Like I loved 4-H. I loved it so much. And I just think like that would be fun to be able to do projects again.
Slowly but surely, we're trying to bring out the agriculture adult programs back.
Good deal.
If anybody has any topics, feel free to give us a call at the Extension office.
Canning.
Well, canning, I'm not allowed to do. I have to bring someone in to do that. Yeah, technically, I'm not allowed to do that.
We have to have somebody who is trained and certified to lead, you know, those. So, but we'll see if we can contact some folks that we know that have those certifications and can come in and teach canning. So we don't have an FCS, Family Consumer Sciences Educator, in our county. So maybe we'll have to reach out to those other counties that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fun.
Some.
So, the thing you have there, I mean, we all throw 50 of those away a year. Like, you know, so don't do that. Like,
yeah, you can reuse it.
Say
in the office, Maddie yells at me all the time. She says, "You got too many of them." But I say, "I'm going to use them this spring. I'm going to put soil in them. We're going to have grower starters in there." And
I don't yell at him because he has too many of them. I would like to make that clarification to the public. I yell at him because he leaves dirt in them. And then they sit on top of a shelf in the office and get dirt all over the floor.
There you go.
Hey, if it doesn't look dirty in the office, that means we're not doing anything.
So. I'll just leave that one alone. But I know where you're coming from, sister.
Don't throw them away. Absolutely. You can use them to start your seeds. They're perfect because you just kind of squeeze out the bottom and then you have that individual plant that you can plant those seeds. Yes. So you've got 6 just right here plants that you can start and place right in your garden. So if you're like Josh and you save every single one in your life, you can do 50 or 500 of them. and they're super great. They have drainage in the bottom of them. I don't know if you can see.
Yeah, for sure.
So just set them on like a tray or like a baking sheet or something that to make sure that you don't get water all over your table or wherever you're growing. They are absolutely perfect. You can reuse them from year to year. And so if you go to the store and you buy, you know, a tomato plant, you know, they come in this, they're already started.
Yep.
You take them home, you garden with them, you save this, you pull some of those seeds from your tomatoes, dry them out.
That's what I was
going to ask
you. Save
them for the next year and plant them right back in. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about saving seeds because we all get annoyed by seeds, right? Well, that's how the next plant grows. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just come from the grocery store.
Yeah.
How do you save seeds?
Yeah, so like kind of Maddie said, you just pull them out. A lot of the time, it just depends on the plant. Some plants, the seeds won't actually regrow. They're just genetically modified where they won't regrow.
Okay, how do you know?
You would have to look up on the publisher's website. Mm-hmm. They should be able to tell you whether these seeds would be able to grow on the next season. So a lot of the time, it makes more sense just to go ahead and get the seeds because seed packets cost very inefficient, and they've gone through so many manufacturing that they're going to be able to germinate better. Mm-hmm. So that's the key is germination. So if you're saving seeds from different vegetables, the germination percentage may go down. So you're going to need a lot more seeds just to guarantee it you're gonna grow something.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So like for example, tomatoes are messy, right? Yeah. So how do you rinse the seeds off? What do you do? Or do you just throw them in something to dry them?
You would rinse them off and then you would kind of let them dry out a little bit. So all of the seeds in your packet here are pretty dry. They're not
goopy.
Put them
on like a paper towel
Put them on a paper towel, kind of let them dry out. And then it's kind of like that guessing game, like that Josh said. If you have an heirloom variety, typically that's kind of their purpose is to save those seeds back and continue that genetic line. But for the most part, some of your seeds are designed, you know, they're just not perfect, you know, don't have that genetic capacity to regrow, but a lot of your heirlooms will.
Okay.
So just kind of paying attention to, like Josh said, what is that genetic variability in those seeds, the germination capacities, and a lot of the times you can read that again on the back of the packet or on the website where the seeds come from.
And it's funny, like we've all had those, I mean, if you haven't, I don't know how you haven't, but we've all had those volunteer tomato plants that pop up in the most random places. And a lot of times it's because you've like thrown a tomato out or an animal has gotten it or whatever.
Pumpkins
oh my
gosh.
Do that.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely. So if you get like a volunteer plant, I would have to think that you could probably save those seeds because it's obviously doing its own.
And it would be a really fun experiment, you know, something fun to try. You know, could we save seeds from this tomato and maybe this different kind of plant or something like that and just see what happens.
Document it.
Yeah, a fun little experiment. A lot of times what I try and do with the kids when I work with them in programs like this is have them think of themselves as scientists. So we talk a lot about science and how science is in everything. And so science is absolutely in gardening. There's a lot of science that goes into growing our own food. And
we've talked a lot of nerdy stuff today, and we're not even, we're just brushing the surface.
Yeah. Right. And so, I always talk to the kids, you know, put your, what is a scientist and what do scientists do? And we talk about collecting data and, all of those things. And so it's an experiment, right? Gardening is an experiment. So will it grow? Will it not grow? What variables, right? We talk about those keywords in science. Do we, you know, we have, it has to have water, it has to have carbon dioxide, it has to have sunlight, you know, all of those things that a plant needs to thrive.
Right.
And so I love working with the kids with gardening programs because they don't realize, you know, how much science goes into this and how they can be a real life plant scientist. You know, there are so many careers out there. You know, the people who, help create our food system and growth seeds and kind of look into this stuff, and people who look at disease that affects our food systems and our plants and help fight those diseases. And there are so many careers and things that our kids can get into in plant science that they have no idea or even an option. So I always, always talk to them through, you know, this
so smart.
This is science. This is a career that you could follow. It's not just, you know, planting a plant and seeing if it grows. It's growing your own food. It's being self-sustaining and looking towards your future as well. So got on my soapbox there.
No, but it's so smart and it's very valid what you say. And I think, you know, teaching the kids that everything is science.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
It's so good.
There's a lot of soil science that goes into it, right, Josh?
Yeah, well, we just touched a little bit on composting, but composting is a lot of science-based, talking about your carbon and nitrogen ratios.
Yeah, you need like your greens and your browns, your right? Is that what they
brown.
Call it?
Yep, your browns are your carbons. Yep. Browns are your carbons, your greens are your nitrogens, and you're trying to get to a 30-to-1 ratio. And that 30-to-1 is 30 carbon to 1 nitrogen.
Okay, so more browns than greens. Is that
correct. What you, yeah, yep, okay. More browns than greens.
So this is why we have an ag agent, because he knows all of those things.
It's a see, lot. But
that could be my adult 4-H project. Yes.
So Josh is constantly going out to places and doing soil samples and helping people figure out you know, their ratios and their percentages in their soil.
Well, and I would think that, you know, just – we have a lot of clay around our area, obviously, but I would have to think that different, you know, at my house, maybe peppers grow better than tomatoes or whatever, and it's probably just the soil makeup of your particular garden, right?
Like, right. And that's what I try to encourage people to look at, is look at where you're at and what's realistic with your soil, because if you've got really clay soil or very sandy soil, some things are going to be tougher to grow.
Yeah.
So sometimes it may make sense to have a raised bed and bring your own soil in than trying to convert your soil. Mm-hmm. Most of the soil around here is not too bad of clay, too bad of sand. You majority of the time you can.
The top part of it anyway.
Majority of the time you can plant most of everything in our soil around here. We're lucky to be in a good place in Ohio to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you've got like a certain area where, you know, we've got a lot of sand or a lot of gravel or not enough room. A lot of the time it's a room issue. So having those raised beds.
But you can plant a tomato plant in anything, right? So like get you a pickle bucket, you know, there's probably laying around beside the road somewhere, you know, grab any big vessel that you can think of or some old flower pot that you don't want to use anymore, but it's still a container to hold that.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of 5-gallon buckets.
Yeah.
They're perfect just to
put a steak down. I call them pickle buckets, but
Okay.
Like the restaurant pickles come in them. But yeah. But yes, absolutely. There's no reason why, even if you just have a front porch or a deck or something. I mean, I always plant one tomato plant on my deck so I can run out there and grab it really quick and go in. But yeah, we've just taken a little strip right off of our driveway and it's not very big, like maybe twice the size of this table, and like I just put what you guys said, I put stuff in it, you just keep working it and working it and working it, and then, you know, by the time the spring comes around, then you've got good soil for planting stuff.
Right.
So if people want to get their soil tested, what should they do?
Yeah, for if you want to get soil tested, whether that's for your garden or whether you've got field crops, you can call us at the extension office. If we can't do it, we also have Danny Barger. He's with Soil and Water, so you can call down at the Soil and Water.
Too, yeah.
Danny will do it. Danny's awesome.
Yeah.
We'll both come out. It costs the same to use either choice. You won't offend us either way of which one you choose.
Yeah.
We can come out. We'll do it with a smile. And we'll get a soil sample done. It usually takes about a week or so to get your soil results back. And then we can sit down and talk to you about what it kind of means, your soil sample, and what type of fertilizer, or if you have compost, how much you need to put on.
Okay. And, you know, again, depending on where you live, everybody's right. soil is different. And so you kind of need to know that before you start. It's like putting gas in your car or whatever. You got to put the right stuff in.
Yep.
Right. Or food in your body. You got to put the right stuff in it.
Absolutely.
Right. And then this time of year, I know we were talking beforehand, but talking about our lawns, talking about what our lawns need for our grass to grow well. I know I've got to do one for our lawn and get the right. See if the pH is right. I don't think the pH is right, but
it's because we have dogs.
Yeah. Yep.
And their stuff messes up the pH of soil.
Yep. So definitely,
but we love them.
Definitely can help if you've got some bald spots in your grass, figuring out what's going on in your lawn as well.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So one more thing, one more question about this. How much do you know to water? How do you know how much water to put on these things?
It's not a whole lot. Say it's better to underwater than overwater. So you want to just do a little sprinkle probably every day and just kind of go off of that. You want to make sure whenever you touch the soil, you can reach in and feel it, that it's moist, but it's not wet. You just want to be able to feel the moisture on your hand. You don't want to put a whole lot into it, because if you overwater it, that's worse than underwatering it.
Yeah, because it'll literally like dry rot, or not dry rot, rot.
Yeah, if there's water sitting at the roots, most of the time with our seeds, we're not going to get roots for a little while. But if there's water sitting down at those roots, it can rot your plant out, and it's going to kill your plant pretty quickly.
Or mildew, even.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. So you also want to make sure that your raised beds have good drainage as well. So.
Yes. And your pickle bucket.
Yeah, or your pickle bucket or whatever you've got going on, making sure that you're doing some good layers in there and giving your plants some room to breathe as well.
And I think I, for a long time, I'm an idiot, didn't realize, you know, even in your containers that you plant flowers in and stuff like that, like dump the dirt out, get new dirt, or mix it together or whatever. Don't keep trying to reuse the soil, because it's lost all its nutrients, right?
Yep. You can, if you keep it, you would definitely want to put some fertilizer into it. Just make sure it gets that nutrients, because the plant's not eating the soil. It's eating those nutrients out of the soil.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just, it seems like common sense, but it took me a long time to figure that out.
Food for thought.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Literally, pun intended. Well, very good. So this also kind of goes hand in hand with something that you have coming up. Is it tomorrow?
It is tomorrow.
Already.
I know.
Love this.
So yeah, we've got our open house coming up tomorrow. This is our second one that we've done. So we did one last year and it was a huge hit.
To say it was wildly successful is an understatement.
It was amazing. And I was just super proud of the community for showing up and showing an interest in the 4-H program and everything that we can offer. I told the guys on the radio earlier, you know, 4-H is so much. It is so big, and
it's so awesome.
It's so much bigger than our little county here. You know, I worked for the 4-H International Program when I was in college, and we have 52 countries that have a 4-H program worldwide.
That is so cool.
6.5 million kids in this world that are involved in this program, and so it's so much more than I think anybody can imagine.
Than your county fair.
Yeah,
really.
So my biggest kind of goal as I started in this role, so I've been in this role for about a year and a half now, is kind of showcasing this community what 4-H can be. So I love the county fair. It's my favorite thing. Highlight of my summer. I was a county fair kid all growing up. I showed rabbits at the fair. Loved it. Went to the state fair every year. But we have over 200 4-H projects in 4-H, ranging from livestock and animals that you would exhibit at the county fair to canning and freezing and gardening and fishing, and we even have a trapping muskrats project.
I love that.
I know. We have agriculture, we have sewing, we have clothing, I mean, just anything that you can
food,
think of. Food,
cooking,
tractor maintenance, I mean, just anything. Communications, kids that are interested in doing stuff like this, you know, radio and TV and public speaking, leadership. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And so that was kind of my goal, was to showcase, you know, when I started in Jackson County, I realized that not a lot of our kids were taking those non-livestock projects, those yeah. general projects. And I realized that we had a really low enrollment in those. And I thought, man, you know, there's so many opportunities for our kids that they're missing out on.
Sure.
And so we had the project fair last year, the open house to just get the community interested in 4-H and show what all we've got going on and what those opportunities are. And we tripled our non-livestock project enrollment last
year. Good for you.
Yes, we did. It was so, so great. So we judged over 200 non-livestock 4-H projects last year.
Now we're going to have to build a bigger 4-H building.
I want 400 this year, guys.
Yes. Get on it.
And so it was just an outstanding turnout. And I do credit you guys for helping promote that event and, you know, letting us come on here and really showcase what the 4-H program is about.
Well, it's always our pleasure because you know how I feel about 4-H. Yeah.
And so this year, the open house, it's going to be kind of the same thing that we did last year. This year, we're going to have a lot more hands-on, you know, make and take activities. Like I said, we'll have gardening there. So if you want to start a seed and you know, have a plant to take home, we'll have stuff like that to highlight our gardening 4-H projects. Cake decorating. We're going to have cupcakes that you can decorate. I heard there may or may not be snow cones available. So lots of just really great hands-on ways to interact with 4-H and the 4-H program. We're going to have our dog club there. They'll have their dogs there. Of course, we're going to have livestock there and animals, so you'll get to see some of our wonderful kids that exhibit at the fair every year with their super sweet, just lovable animals. I know one of our 4-H'ers, she's going to bring her market steer, who is just a big baby. I mean, you know, this humongous calf that is just a big, sweet baby. So just so amazing to, you know, see that all of these kids kind of pull together to show off what they're proud of and the work they should. So we're really excited about that, too. So if you're interested in learning more about 4-H, getting your kiddos involved, you just want to, maybe your kid's already involved in 4-H and you maybe want them to learn new skills or try out some new things. I
mean, these are things that you can learn that you may or may not ever have an opportunity to do it, and you can do it through 4-H.
Like you said, there's not an adult 4-H, so you've got to learn it now, right?
Yes.
So come to the open house.
We're onto something with that.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, come to the open house, learn about all of the things that you can do, interact, ask us questions, ask the kids questions. So what you'll do when you get there is you'll get a bingo card, and you'll go to each station that gives you little tasks to do, you know, go and brush a horse or go and see the gardening or plant a plant. And so once you kind of get all your stamps, you can turn that bingo card in for a prize. You'll turn that bingo card in if you fill out the back of it, like with your name and your email and stuff. We'll put you in for a drawing for a 4-H camp scholarship.
Whoa.
You don't want to miss it. Yeah, yeah. That's so really we're going to raffle off a couple of 4-H camp scholarships, and hopefully that'll get kids involved in summer camp as well.
Yeah. Which is a whole other thing. I actually never did go to summer camp because I showed horses all summer long, so I just was never really available to go to the camp. And that's one thing that I never did get to do, but I know it's a lot of fun and the kids really enjoy it.
Yes, yeah. So summer camp, we met at summer camp. Besties for the Resties is our favorite place, Tanner's Cave. And I think it's just a wonderful, outstanding opportunity for our kids, especially since it's so local. I mean, Canner's Cave is just right down the road.
Yeah, we're so blessed to have it in our backyard.
Absolutely. Literally. There are some counties across the state, if their kids want to go to 4-H camp, they drive hours.
Yeah.
And so we are so blessed and so lucky to have Canner's just right here in our backyard. I want every 4-H'er in this county to go to 4-H summer camp because it's the best opportunity. We'll be promoting camp. We'll have a table there with our camp counselors. They'll be making friendship bracelets with kids.
Fun.
So you definitely don't want to miss it. So.
And snow cones.
So, yeah, that's tomorrow night, Thursday the 7th. We'll be there from 5:30 to 7:30. Just stop on by anytime.
It's free.
It's at the fairgrounds, so in Wellston.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit. The fairgrounds can be a little bit intimidating if you don't know how to navigate the fairgrounds. So when people drive down Driving Park Lane, I think that's what it's called, where do they go?
So it's on Meadow Run Road. You're going to come all the way down So you'll pass the church, you'll pass the semi-driving school and kind of go through that front gate through there. And we'll have signs. The Junior Fair Board and camp counselors have made wonderful, beautiful signs for you all.
Okay, so follow the signs.
So follow their signs, and there will be cars parked right there in front of the big white 4-H building. So when you pull into the fairgrounds, you're going to turn left, and you're going to go down to that 4-H building.
Okay.
That's where all of our 4-H booths are during the week of the fair. There's usually some vendors in there. That's kind of where the restrooms are in there and stuff like that. So it's that big white building. You won't miss it. So you'll see.
Yeah, and so you don't have to drive all the way around the backside of the fairgrounds.
You can just come right in through that front gate. Yep.
Okay, all right. Yep. Cool. Because I think a lot of people are like, well, during the fair, you have to, you can't do that.
You can just pull in right through the front gate. We'll have signs there. You'll see all the cars. We have these big, tall flutter flag things that you'll see us. And yeah, it'll be awesome.
Okay. So what if, hopefully, it doesn't do tomorrow what it's doing today and pour down the rain. But what would you say if someone was like, oh, it's raining.
Raining. I know. I've been checking the weather like every hour. So hopefully it's just cloudy tomorrow. That's what it says it's going to be. It's just cloudy. So hopefully it won't rain. But if it does rain, the event is inside. So we're inside the 4-H building. The animals last year were outside in some livestock pens just outside the 4-H building. This year we've moved them down into like the hog barn / show arena area.
Which is all covered.
Which is covered. So you can walk down in there, bring your umbrella so for the walk between the two buildings.
If it's raining.
If it's raining, but everything will be under covers and out of the weather. So if it rains, hopefully it's not too big of a deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to say that just in case people were like, oh, I don't know. Is everybody going to be outside or whatever? So, and you said that there may be some horses there.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we've got a few 4-H'ers that are going to bring their horses and ponies. I think last year we had a mini pony, which was super cute. His name was Popcorn. He was adorable.
Popcorn, stop. Oh my God.
So Popcorn may make an appearance.
They haul him in the backseat of their car. Fine.
Come and interact. They'll probably be in like the horse barn or the show arena area there. But we'll have signage and junior fair board members and folks there to kind of help guide people where things will be. So you won't miss out on anything.
Okay. Very, very good. And again, this is free and this is a perfect opportunity for you to take the kids, go on up. If nothing else, just see some animals and some fun things.
Just have a fun evening.
Have a good time.
Absolutely.
But also learn about some of those projects that you may have no idea that exist.
Yeah. And so it's Ohio 4-H week this week. So the open house and spring project fair is also kind of like Jackson County's celebration of 4-H. It's Ohio 4-H week. We're celebrating 4-H. If you check out our OSU Extension social media, we're kind of putting stuff out there this week about share your favorite 4-H memory or share your favorite thing that you've done in 4-H. And so this is our big celebration of Ohio 4-H week and kind of all the things that our kids do and our volunteers do to make the program happen. So don't miss out on it. We're super excited about it, and I hope everyone comes and checks it out.
Yeah, I mean, we hope that people are lined up all the way out to the Dairy Queen in Wellston.
Our 4-H enrollment deadline in Jackson County is April 1st.
Okay.
So you have a little bit of under a month to figure out if you want to be a 4-H member and get signed up. So at the open house, we'll have several clubs that have tables set up that are recruiting 4-H members.
That's what I was going to ask. Well, so there'll be different clubs there to talk with.
Yeah. So we'll have several clubs there. If you want to get signed up and want to be a part of 4-H, they will let you know when their next meeting is for their club, how to get signed up, so you can kind of connect with them and those club volunteers to get enrolled in 4-H. So you want to join by April 1st so you can pick out your projects and get everything that you need for the summer.
Yeah, and that's right. And here's the thing, some clubs do all projects. Some clubs, I know when I was showing horses, there was like more of a horse club because if you don't know what you're doing, you need to know what you're doing with some of the animals and stuff like that. So, you guys can help people.
Yeah.
This is, they have sewing. Yes. They know about sewing. They can help you with that if that's what you want to do and that kind of thing. So kind of help find people. Match them together, which is really, really cool. Let's talk about ages.
ages. Mm-hmm. So
4-H'ers.
To join 4-H, first you could join as a clover bud, which are kind of our younger 4-H members. They don't take projects. Mm-hmm. They just are kind of in that learning about 4-H, what you do in 4-H. They do a lot of crafts and things like that. We have clover bud camp. So clover buds are age 5, ending kindergarten, up to age 7 in second grade. And so our 4-H project age kids, so those kids that can take those projects like livestock, those non-livestock projects, you know, canning and freezing and stuff like that, those kiddos are 8 years old and in the third grade or just 9 years old and up. So they have to hit that third grade marker, be 8 years old.
And that's as of January?
As of January 1st. Yep. Okay. So January 1st is kind of our 4-H age kind of thing that helps us make sure everybody's on the right track. So all of our projects are written at a third grade reading level. So we have to make sure that all of our kiddos are in that third grade area to make sure that they're getting the support that they need. And then you're in 4-H all the way up until you're 18. And so you can be in 4-H for 10 years. Some kids get an extra year depending on when their birthday falls.
That's how I was.
That's how I was too. Yeah. And so it just kind of depends on where you're at. So if you're interested in 4-H, it's that kind of clover bud aspect of 5 years old and in kindergarten up to second grade, and then 8 years old and in the third grade or up.
Yep. Okay. Absolutely. Very, very good. And you know, it's great if your kids are interested or you have a little brother or sister, let them be in the clover buds and get started. Yeah. And then they can just hit the ground running when they get old enough.
Absolutely. Yep.
Very fun. So what kind of projects did you guys do? You said you did rabbits.
I did. I took market and breeding rabbits. I had a rabbitry, which is a rabbit farm, growing up. And so my first year in 4-H.
Wait, a rabbitry.
Rabbitry, yep.
Didn't know that was what that was called.
And so my first couple of years in 4-H, you know, we would buy rabbits from breeders and we kind of realized that there was a need for rabbits in the area. And so I started breeding rabbits myself. And so at one point, I think I had over 200 rabbits that I had on my farm that, you know, we were supplying market rabbits to all of the local kids in the area. So I took market rabbits. I was very deep in the rabbit world and it was super awesome. But I also took a lot of the non-livestock projects as well. I took leadership projects every year. Another option that clubs have is you can take a project as an entire club. So every kid in your 4-H club would take the project together. And so a lot of the years, my club, we would take a club project. So we would do.
I did not know that was a thing.
A grilling project, and we would grill at every club meeting and learn about food safety and grilling, and so we did a lot of stuff like that. It was super awesome. So I took some food nutrition, leadership, arts. I did scrapbooking and things like that. The mental health projects. I mean, just anything that I could kind of get my hands on to learn about. What about you, John?
Yeah, I took goats. Goats were my go-to. I took them for market and breeding. Mm-hmm. I also did a bunch of cooking projects. Cooking was my favorite one because, one, you got to eat once you're done.
Yeah, who doesn't that?
Everybody looked at me and was like, oh, you did cooking? I was like, yeah, I got to eat. That's the best part about it. So I did all the cooking projects, did goats, did a lot of camp counselor stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Did a bunch of the leadership projects. Because I was on junior fair board because I was going to be at the fair one way or another. So that was my thought of it was I might as well be on junior fair board and do it. And junior fair board's a great program that we have here, too. It's just, you know, having the kids take leadership positions where they can work with the shows, working with the program, mm-hmm. you know, getting more involved. So doing those type of programs was kind of my forte. I just like being interactive with other people.
That. You know, it was funny. We had the the Jackson High School baseball team on the other day, the seniors, and mm-hmm. we got to talking about that very thing is like junior high baseball here in Jackson, as many, many schools, is not like a school sanctioned thing, but the older kids,
mm-hmm.
we have junior high teams,
yeah,
and the older kids, the younger kids obviously look up to the older kids, yeah. And I was asking them what it meant to them when they, from the time they started, you know, junior high to now they're the seniors, yeah. and whatever. And they're like, yeah, we looked up to the guys and now we're those guys and it's super cool, yeah. and whatever. And it's the same in 4-H. I remember like my first year in 4-H and I was terrified of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, you know, good advisors that were, you know, there to help. And, you know, the older kids, you're like, oh my God, they're yeah. so cool. And then as you grow up
yeah.
in those leadership roles, and then by the time you're, you know, the older kid, you have to think back about
yeah.
how you felt mm-hmm. as that 9-year-old or 10-year-old yeah. or whatever and that so, was scared. And
absolutely. We have some outstanding teens. I'm so blessed with all of my teens. They're just amazing. And
yes.
When you come to the open house, you'll see them at work. And they make that open house happen. And so you'll see our queens, our junior fair court, mm-hmm. they run around and kind of help folks and talk to them about that experience. And our junior fair board staffs tables and talks about, you know, different opportunities. And they lead people to where they need to go. And they hand out prizes. I mean, they're just awesome. And so, yeah, that was kind of one of the things, you know, we did a lot of teen leadership when I was in 4-H and I was on junior fair board. We had a junior leaders club and then camp counseling. And it's just a part of 4-H that I think is so valuable is you grow up in the program and then you give back to it.
That so, 100%.
Absolutely.
It's just funny how you evolve yes, over, you know, yes. your different years in 4-H yeah. and that kind of thing. But it's just a great experience. I would definitely suggest it to... for anybody. And I know that you're not involved with FFA, but that's also, I think, a wonderful program.
Oh, yes.
Through the
yes.
schools. And you can do both, I think, if you want. And those kids are amazing, yes. too.
And our junior fair board is comprised of 4-H and FFA kiddos. FFA, yeah. So, yes, our FFA kids, they step up.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. They're on junior fair board, and they make the fair happen. And yes, absolutely. Those kids rock.
So. Kind of everybody working together. Yeah, it's such yeah. a good deal. So, well, is there anything else you wanted our viewers to know? I mean, we've talked planting seeds and all that fun stuff.
You got anything?
I've got some things coming up. We've got a Quickens workshop coming up. If Quickens is an accounting software,
yeah.
We've got someone coming from the state to talk about how farmers can use it on their property. So if you're interested, feel free to give us a call. That's there's a cost idea. To that one. There's $60 cost, but that's for like the whole farm. So a husband and wife, two people can attend. I'll be in that workshop. We've got our farmers club. It's the third Monday of the month. We've also got a hunter's education course. If you need your hunter's education, hunter safety card, we have that coming up this weekend. It's a free cost. It's going to be this Saturday. So if you're interested, it looks like my calendar's up there. So we've got a bunch of different programs here in Jackson, plus in the surrounding counties. I know Gallia has a lot of programs in Pike County. We've got a lot of programs coming
up.
So
people find that.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook. It's yeah. on our Facebook. It's okay. also on our email. I send out this as an email to every person who signs up to my email list. So if you want to be a part of my email list, be sure to give me a call, give me a text. We can put you on the email list and you'll get one every month.
Oh,
that month
cool.
will have all the information, mm-hmm. Have these calendars, and it'll also have the flyers for the programs and who you would need to contact. So.
And what is your Facebook page?
Our Facebook is Jackson County OSU Extension, I believe.
Okay.
And then everything that we do is also available on our website at jackson.osu.edu.
Oh, okay.
And so Josh has a page on our website. I have a page on the website. So anything agriculture mm-hmm. and natural resources or 4-H youth development, you can find there. There's one big calendar on the website that we try and plug everything in that you can flip through and find all the events
awesome.
Going on. So the website's kind of where everything lives. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, you guys, thank you so much for all you do for our kids and coming in here. And we always have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I didn't even have to get my hands dirty.
I know. Yeah. Not we today, didn't even we didn't. Really play with
Maybe
our dirt.
Next time.
Yeah.
But no, it's seriously true. If you want any of these seeds, please head out to the Extension Center there on Standpipe right there by Carmen's mm-hmm. Car lot, and you can pick them up.
Or yeah. come tomorrow night. I'll have some tomorrow night.
So. There you go. Yeah. yeah, come to the open house again at the Jackson County Fairgrounds tomorrow night, 5:30 to 7:30, and you can learn all about 4-H and get some free stuff, too.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. We appreciate you, and we will be right back here tomorrow.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
This just in.
The Telegram News has a new website.
TheTelegramNews.com.
Same dedicated coverage.
Same trustworthy news with a brand new look.
Covering Jackson and Benton County and surrounding areas.
Locally owned and operated, TheTelegramNews.com has its finger on the pulse of the community.
Stay up to date on local events, high school sports, and breaking news.
TheTelegramNews.com.
Subscribe today at TheTelegramNews.com.
Check it out.